Judges chapter 3 and verse 5. And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to their sons, and served their gods. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and forgot the Lord their God, and served Balaam and the groves. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Chushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Chushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Chushan-Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Amen. May the Lord bless to us this reading from his word. We've been thinking a little bit about the early stages of the people's time, the children of Israel's time in Canaan. And we've discovered in these early chapters of Judges that the Lord continued to leave some of the original Canaanite tribes in the land in order to test and try the children of Israel. And we discover that very quickly these tribes of Israel resorted to following after the patterns and the practices of the Canaanitish people. And we are coming to think now about these folks who are called the judges. The judges in Israel were a group of 12 men and a woman, and we'll come to her in a couple of weeks' time if we continue to the plan that I have. But 12 men and a woman who are recorded that the Lord raised up to lead and to judge and to deliver Israel from their enemies during a period of about 400 to 500 years. This was between the time of the death of Joshua and the establishment of what is called the Jewish monarchy, or the times of the kings of Israel. And this period was a time of instability. It was a time when things changed rapidly. They were unstable times, times of war and peace, times of trial and testing, times of rivalries and reconciliations. During these times, the tribes of Israel rarely seemed to have operated as a united people, and their battles often appear to have been fought locally with other nations on their borders, such as the Moabites and the Midianites and the Ammonites and the Philistines, and sometimes tribe against tribe in a kind of civil war. For example, with the tribe of Benjamin, one of the tribes of the children of Israel, and we will encounter that later in the book. So there were rivalries between the tribes as well. And during this period, we are told several times in the book of Judges, for example, on one occasion in Judges chapter 17 and verse 6, that In those days, that is the days of the judges, in those days, there was no king in Israel. That's right, because it was the judges who were raised up of God to rule and to deliver. But the point that the writer of this book is making is that there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. So that is actually a condemnation. It's a judgment on the people that there was no king to lead the people. And it seems that not only the tribes, but individual families and individual people, they simply did that which was right in their own eyes. And that little phrase, I think, is revealing and suggests that there was little cohesion and little unity amongst the tribes. There is a saying, you may have heard of it before. It says, divide and conquer. And it simply means that a lack of unity always makes a group weaker. David knew this, and he wrote later, it was after the time of the judges and in the time of the kings, he wrote in Psalm 133, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." And that's true, and it's true in families, it's true in churches, and of course it's true in nations and amongst the nations of the world. But it's true for you and for me. We should always endeavour to live together in unity. It's a good and a pleasant thing for us all. But that little phrase also implies that men and women did that which was right in their own eyes. It also implies that the people of Israel did not take their faith and their duty to God seriously. They were content to accommodate the practices of the idol-worshipping neighbours amongst whom they lived. They were prepared to copy the religious practices of the Canaanites who still dwelt amongst them. And Judges chapter 3 verse 6 says, "And they took their daughters to be their wives, and they gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods." Very shortly after the Lord had proved himself so wonderfully to these people, we find that their hard-heartedness and their wandering affections brought them into open disobedience and rebellion against God. They did evil in God's sight, and therefore the Lord weakened them and humbled them and caused their enemies to prosper and brought the tribes of Israel into judgment and under pressure and duress. So that we read in Judges chapter 3 verse 8, "Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Chushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Chushan Rishathaim 8 years. Those must have been long years. Some of you may not be too much older than 8 years of age, and it is a long time, certainly, to be under the dominion of a foreign power and a foreign king. Mesopotamia, that is being spoken about here, was the land between the two rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates. It's north of the land of Canaan, just as you sort of turn to go up into that area of eastern Turkey. And it is what is today called modern day Iraq. And that area is sometimes called the Fertile Crescent. It was the same place as the Assyrian and the Babylonian empires dominated that we've been reading about in the book of Isaiah recently. And we've seen how these nations from the book of Isaiah, they came to dominate Israel in the centuries following. But at this time, and for 8 years, this man, Chushan Rishathaim, oppressed Israel until, we are told, the people cried out to the Lord. Now, think about that for a moment. These people had been worshipping Balaam and, we're told, the groves. They'd been worshipping idols. They'd been enjoying the sensual aspects of the religion of the Canaanites. They'd been worshipping these idols. Perhaps they had been sacrificing to these idols. And probably they were asking these idols to help them in their troubles with the king of Mesopotamia. I imagine they'd cried out to the god Balaam at the groves long before they cried out to the Lord. But you know, it is no good crying for help to gods that don't have any ears. However, when the people cried to the Lord heard their cry for help, and he raised up Othniel, son of Kenaz. We're told he was Caleb's younger brother. This Caleb that is referred to here, he was a famous man, and that's why his name gets mentioned here again. He was the other spy who went into Canaan many years before with Joshua and had come back with a good report that the people should enter the land. And of course, there were 12 spies went, 10 came back and said, no, no, we couldn't take over the land. And two, Joshua and Caleb, had said, yes, we must go in. So that's the same Caleb. So this man, Othniel, was of the same family as Caleb. So he probably had a good start in life as far as the worship of God is concerned. He was part of a family that had known and worshipped the Lord. And he it was who was the first judge who was raised up to judge and to lead Israel. And we're told that he went out to fight with the king of Mesopotamia, and he prevailed against him, or he repulsed his armies, so that the people had 40 years of peace under the rule of Othniel. So I want to just leave a few interesting points, or points that I think are interesting from this little passage. The first one is this, just to go back to the fact that the people cried out to the Lord for help. The children of Israel had very quickly reverted to idolatry, and they spent these 8 years suffering before calling to the Lord for help. And I think that is intended to show us just the nature and the extent of the hardness of man's heart. Despite all the good done to the people by God, they forgot the Lord and they did what was right in their own eyes, not what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And I think that they would have continued to do so for another 8 years, and maybe another 80 years, had God not given them grace to repent and to turn to him for help. Any time that a sinner truly comes to God for help, it is because God has planted a sense of need in that person's soul. And it was as if that there was a general awareness on the part of the people of Israel that this wasn't right. We shouldn't be paying tribute. We shouldn't be sending our sons and daughters. We shouldn't be placing our people into the armies of this foreign king and sending him our crops and sending him our goods. This is because we have forsaken the Lord. And we notice how the first evidence of grace in a sinner's experience is to cry for help to the Lord. When God intends to do a person good, he first sends a sense of need to humble that soul so that the individual will leave their false gods and their worldly hiding places and flee to God for help. It was the Lord who inspired and initiated this cry for help. And I just want to say this, when you feel such a need, never be too embarrassed or ashamed, no matter what it is that you have done or the need that you feel, never be too embarrassed or ashamed to ask God for help. It might be 8 long years that we suffer without seeking his help, but crying to the Lord, crying out to him, is the beginning of blessing, the beginning of forgiveness, the beginning of help. And this is what the children of Israel did. The second thing I want to point out is that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel. Othniel was the first judge in Israel. So there really wasn't a pattern of what to expect or what he might do or what would happen when this man came into power. Nobody knew what a judge was and what a judge would do. However, we must remember that Othniel was no different to anyone else until the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Because every man did that which was right in his own eyes, including Othniel, until the Spirit of the Lord came and brought him to that place of leadership. The Spirit of the Lord transformed him. It enabled him. It called him, or he called him, to serve God and deliver his people. The prophet Zechariah, sometime later in the history of Israel, tells us that it is in fact always so. Because it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And the Spirit of the Lord inspired, equipped, and enabled Othniel to serve this purpose and fulfill this calling. It is always the case with God's work. If we are going to serve the Lord, it is only when the Spirit of the Lord enables us to do so. If we are going to worship the Lord, it is only when the Spirit of the Lord enables us to do so. If we are going to do anything for him, it must be done spiritually and it must be done by faith. And indeed, that was true even of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ministry, just as it was for Othniel. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, we read prophetically there that the Spirit of the living God is upon me. And these are words that the prophet places upon the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. And so the Lord Jesus Christ himself knew what it was to have the Spirit of the living God upon him. Grace and goodness comes to the experience of a man and a woman and a boy and a girl by the powerful work of God, the Holy Spirit. And this is why we thank the Lord when a sinner comes to Christ, or a blessing is received, or some good gift is enjoyed, because these are good gifts from the Spirit of God. Grace is God's gift, and we thank him for it. And just a final point, and then we'll be done. the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel. Othniel was raised up by God to defeat a powerful enemy and bring peace to the nation. And this man, Othniel, in this capacity, is a lovely picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who also was raised up of God, who was sent by his Father to deliver God's elect people. And he willingly came to defeat our powerful enemies so that we might experience rest and peace from the dominion of sin and Satan and the fear of death. These Old Testament people, these children of Israel, these tribes of Jacob, and the events surrounding them point to our Saviour and remind us of God's purpose, that it has always been to gather his beloved children out of this world and bring them into rest and fellowship with himself. For 8 years, the children of Israel laboured under the king of Mesopotamia until the Lord showed them mercy and brought them back to himself. 8 years they worked for a wicked master. They pledged allegiance to a wicked master. They paid tribute to a wicked master. And it was only when God raised up a deliverer that they found this 40 years of peace. When the Lord Jesus Christ defeats our enemy, when he defeated them on the cross, when he brings peace to our souls in conversion and in saving grace, it will not be only for 40 years. It will be an everlasting peace, and it will be eternal life. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." What a wonderful rest that is. Eternal life with God in heaven. Such a deliverer is our wonderful Saviour. Othniel was Israel's first judge. May the Lord Jesus Christ be first in your life and in mine as the great deliverer and Saviour of our soul. Amen.